Take your Bibles with me tonight, please, and turn to the book of Zechariah. We're just going to make a couple comments on chapter 11 and then move to chapter 12. Last Sunday night, we were in chapter 11, and we dealt with days of vanity. And I would like to just say a little bit to you about that vanity tonight. We're talking about in Revelation chapter 10 about God making a distinction between the just and the unjust. In our language, I think we can use these words, between the saved and the unsaved. And there's a time coming when a very strong distinction is going to be drawn between those two different groups of people. And we'll be looking at that in the weeks ahead as we study the further judgments of the tribulation when God begins to make those very clear distinctions. Miserable things happening. You know, these creatures that are coming out and have stings like scorpions and things like that. Hurtful things. And it is going to be God's just judgment upon the wicked. Have you ever thought about, what about all the wicked who got away without that? You ever think about that? That thought ever occurred to you? You know? Pardon me? Roger says, let God worry about it. I don't think he's worried. There are some things about judgment and justice that we don't understand. We just don't understand. And the big picture is much bigger than we can grasp. But here in the 11th chapter of Zechariah, in verse 4, it says, "The Lord, thus saith the Lord my God, feed the flock of slaughter." And I don't think that I'm stretching this too far. And as I'm talking about stretching, let's understand in context that prophetically, what it's talking about here is those whom God has sent to feed and care for his children during the tribulation, the flock of slaughter. And we know that thousands upon thousands will be martyred during that time for their faith in Christ. It is going to be costly to stand for Christ. And we've got the 144,000 who are his witnesses, evangelists, I think is a good way for us to understand their relationship to the world. And I think this is a message to them, feed that precious flock of mine. Care for them. But I think it is also fair for us to understand that though not with the great intensity of this time, we today are the flock of slaughter. The Lord said to his disciples, if they hated me, they will hate you. And in this particular world, and I think it's going to get more so, if we really stand for Christ, we are going to be treated with disdain, scorn, mockery. The things that are happening are just so evil and wicked, and I'm trying to choose my words carefully, but it's just stupid. Ed was telling me this morning on the way out that he'd heard an interview of, who is that guy again, Ed? Give me. Geraldo Rivera, he was talking about Ben Carson. And here on national media, this guy is saying how unpresidential that this man would believe in creation and just mock and scorn him. I want to be careful, folks. But who's the idiot there?
It was a role.
Yeah. But the media was foolish enough to entertain what he had to say and put it on national news. They do that for a choice. They want to do that. And so I just make that point to say, we are the flock of slaughter. And there is a time when in this world that the wicked get away with wickedness and the righteous incur the wrath and foolish insults of the wicked, and they prevail. And broadly, I believe those are the days that Solomon is talking about when he talks about the days of vanity. Again, I'm trying to choose my words carefully, but we might call them the days of stupidity. The days when ignorance and folly reign on this earth. I want to take you tonight, just quickly, to Ecclesiastes chapter 9. We won't stay there long, I don't think. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, and I want to look at verse 1 through 3. For all this I considered in my heart, even to declare all this, that the righteous and the wise and their works are in the hand of God. No man knoweth either love or hatred by all that is before him. Now that is an interesting concept to think about. I don't know about you, but I just rather expect that if I mind my P's and Q's, do my best, and honor my Lord, that I expect things to go well for me because I've done that. Don't we do that? Don't you think that way? I know my folks treated me that way when I was in high school. When I was an obedient child and I honored them, they honored me with privileges and opportunities that I otherwise wouldn't have. And we think that certainly God must deal with his children the same way. What Solomon is talking about here is that it's not that way in this life. And the righteous and the wise and their deeds are in the hand of the Lord. But the way things turn out for us is not an evidence of that. No man knows either love or hatred by all the things that happen. I often refer to this lady, and bless her heart, I'm going to see her in heaven, and she's a sweetheart, I know. But she was just so vocal, and she would say things, you know. And when things weren't going well for her, she said, "Does God hate me?" You know? Well, this verse talks to this about that. By our circumstances, we don't know his love or hatred. Now, let's go on to verse 2. All things come alike to all. There is one event to the righteous and to the wicked, to the good and to the clean, to the unclean, to him that sacrificeth, to him that sacrificeth not. As is the good, so is a sinner. And he that sweareth as he that feareth an oath. Life comes up the same for all of those people. And what does Solomon say? This is an evil among all the things that are done under the sun, that there is one event unto all. Yea, also the heart of the sons of men is full of evil, and madness is in their heart while they live. And after that, they go to the dead. We are a part of this flock of slaughter. And God looks out upon us with compassion. And I think even God longs for the day when it is time to return unto his children the reward of their righteousness. I think he looks forward to that wonderful day. But today, things are a little different than that. And so God says to his people, feed the flock of slaughter. Now, that has to do with the days of vanity. That day is going to change. We're talking in the morning service about when that's going to change. Now, we're moving over to chapter 12. And we're looking at the days of protection and deliverance of Israel. And God is relating this message to his prophet. The burden of the word of the Lord for Israel, saith the Lord, which stretcheth forth the heavens and layeth the foundation of the earth and formeth the spirit of man within him. Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all the people round about, when they shall be in the siege, both against Judah and against Jerusalem. You think things are hot in Israel now? It is going to become the incredible focus of the entire world. And in verse 3 says, and in that day will I make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. All that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces, though all the people of the earth be gathered together against it. That day is coming when the world is going to gather itself against Israel. You know, as you read through the scriptures and see the history of how God deals with his people, he always rescues them in the nick of time. Isn't that interesting? When things are incredibly dark and just plain look hopeless, it is at that point that God chooses to act. I want to give you a little, can we call it, historical look at this. Turn with me in Ezekiel, back to Ezekiel chapter 38. I think that what we're referring to here is the days of Gog. And it's described for us here in the 38th chapter of the book of Ezekiel. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face against Gog, the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal, and prophesy against them. The time is coming when a confederacy of nations are going to rise up against Israel. And that's what this particular portion of Scripture is talking about. And some excellent students of the Scripture have done a lot of historical inquiry into this. And it really makes sense that this confederacy is going to be led by Russia. And it may happen soon enough that that rascal Putin will be in this. And it will be in allegiance with countries like Syria, Libya, probably Iraq, Egypt, Liberia. I didn't mean to say Liberia, I meant Libya. Yeah. Well, let's go on and read this. Son of man, set thy face against Gog, the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal, and prophesy against them and say, Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against thee, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal, and I will turn thee back and put hooks in thine army, and put hooks in thy jaws, and will bring thee forth, and all thine army, horses and horsemen, all of them, clothed with all sorts of armor, even a great company with bucklers and shields, all of them handling swords. Now here's the Confederate nations mentioned, Persia, Ethiopia, Libya with them, all of them with shield and helmet, Gomer and all his bands, the house of Togarma, of the north quarters, and all the bands and many peoples with thee. Be thou prepared, and prepare for thyself, thou and all thy company that are assembled unto thee, and be thou a guard unto them. After many days thou shalt be visited in the later years. Thou shalt come into the land that is brought back from the sword. Now, here's a description of Israel, which is kind of interesting, that Israel is going to be at peace during this time and is gathered out of many people against the mountains of Israel, which have been always waste, but is brought forth out of the nations, and they shall dwell safely, all of them. Thou shalt ascend and come like a storm. Thou shalt be like a cloud to cover the land, thou and all thy bands and many people with thee. As I read this, I think about my childhood on the farm. That God is gathering all of these people together for his judgment. And their notion is quite different than God's notion. And at this particular time, Israel is going to dwell in safety and security. Now, as I have mentioned, and I was interested to talk with Dr. Kober about this, when I was going to school, we didn't talk about this prophetically, but we're talking about it now. And guys like Dr. Kober and Dr. Ryrie and a lot of others, you know, they have their annual prophecy meetings where they go over and they just talk about the things they're learning about prophecy and stuff like that. They are beginning to extend a period of time between the rapture of the church and the beginning of the tribulation. And they're beginning to think that this battle of Gog may well sit right in with that period of time sometime. What is obvious is that in some degree, this Mideast issue is going to be resolved, and there's going to be a temporary peace and security in the Mideast. If you have read any of Joel Rosenberg's books, he suggests that it's very possible that a peace treaty will be had between Palestine and Israel, and the motivation will be the great wealth that they're sitting upon in the form of gas and oil. And they have discovered huge amounts of gas and oil off the shore of Israel. And from what I understand, even within the land of Israel. The problem is nobody wants to make the investments today to go in and take it out because of the political disruption. If they once resolve that political disruption, all of a sudden, the wealth that we have seen gathered by folks like the Saudi Arabians will now become the wealth of Israel and Palestine. And they will just be in the lap of luxury and wealth. And envious, spiteful nations around her, Russia, Libya, Persia, Ethiopia, will say, let's go take that wealth. And when I say it reminds me of my childhood on the farm, I think I've talked to you about the fact that in the summertime, we always had a contest between us kids and Gramp on who could swat the most flies in a day. And if you're on a dairy farm in Wisconsin, there's plenty of flies to swat. I'd forgotten about that when we moved back to Wisconsin and I would go to call on the farmers. I learned very quickly that when I get to the farm and put my window up, don't leave my car sitting out there with the window up. It would just fill with flies, you know. Well, Gramp would get up in the morning at 4 o'clock. Obviously, we didn't get up at that time in the morning. And he would fix coffee, and he would go around. He'd swat flies around the house because our house was not sealed up real good. And he would kill 60 or 80 flies in the morning. And at breakfast, he would give us the number. I got 73 flies this morning. So my brother and I, we got to beat that, you know. So our way of beating that was we would go out. We had a big front veranda porch on the house. And we would go out there either with a little honey or a little sugar, and we'd put that out there and draw the flies. And my brother and I would see how many flies we could kill with one swat. You know, and sometimes we get as many as 12 with one swat. Bam! It's exactly what God is doing. He's sugaring up Israel. And he's bringing her enemies in upon her. And they just know that they're going to get Israel. But it's not what's going to happen. Now let's come back to our text. We're in Ezekiel here, chapter 38, verse 10. Thus saith the Lord God, it shall also come to pass that at the same time shall things come into thy mind, and thou shalt think an evil thought. And thou shalt say, I will go up to the land of unwalled villages. I will go to them that are at rest, that dwell safely, all of them dwelling without walls, and having neither bars nor gates, to take a spoil, and to take a prey, to turn thine hand upon the desolate places that are now inhabited, and upon the people that are gathered out of the nations. See, the Jewish people are regathering there. Which have gotten cattle and goods and dwell in the midst of the land, Sheba and Dedan, and all the merchants of Tarshish, with all the young lions thereof, shall say unto thee, art thou come to take a spoil? Now that's Israel responding, okay? They're living in that land securely. Do you remember when, I forget the names of these things, but wasn't it Desert Storm? When we went in to take care of Saddam Hussein? Is that what? Desert Storm. We spent 3, 4, 5 months building up for that. Moving material and men and everything, staging them and getting them ready for that. Well, Russia and all these folks will be staging and getting ready to take Israel. And Israel responds. Sheba and Dedan are different areas there in Israel. And the merchants, with all the young lions, those are Israeli people, shall say, art thou come to take a spoil? Hast thou gathered thy company? To take a prey, to carry away silver and gold, to take away cattle and goods, and to take a great spoil? Therefore, son of man, prophesy and say unto Gog, thus saith the Lord God, in that day, when my people Israel dwelleth safely, shall thou not know it? And thou shalt come from thy place out of the north parts, thou and many people with thee, all of them riding upon horses, a great company and a mighty army. There's been a lot of discussion about these horses and stuff like that and this great army. And quite frankly, I resolve this in my mind that it's being written in the time of Ezekiel, and he sees as an army as something that is predominantly driven by horsepower. And that's the view he's got. I don't think that that's what was going to happen here. I think there's going to be tanks and armored vehicles and all that kind of stuff being brought into the area. Verse 16. Now, there are those that suggest there's something going to happen and it is going to be horses. And it might be. It really doesn't matter, you know. So I don't get all bent out of shape about it. I don't think that we're offending the scriptures to see tanks and armored vehicles here. And thou shalt come up against my people Israel as a cloud to cover the land. It shall be in the latter days. And I will bring thee against my land, that the heathen may know me, when I shall be sanctified in thee, O Gog, before their eyes. The whole world is going to see this disaster. For thus saith the Lord God, art thou he of whom I have spoken in old time by my servants, the prophets of Israel, which prophesied in those days many years that I would bring thee against them? And it shall come to pass at the same time when Gog shall come up against the land of Israel, saith the Lord God, that my fury shall come up in my face. For in my jealousy and in the fire of my wrath have I spoken. Surely in that day there shall be a great shaking in the land of Israel, so that the fishes of the sea and the fowls of the heaven and the beasts of the field and all creeping things that creep upon the earth and all men that are upon the face of the earth shall shake at my presence. And the mountains shall be thrown down, and the steep places shall fall, and every wall shall fall to the ground. And I will call for a sword against him throughout all my mountains, saith the Lord God. Every man's sword shall be against his brother. You'll find many places in the Old Testament scriptures where God used this method to defeat the enemies of Israel. And I will plead against him with pestilence and with blood, and I will rain upon him and upon his bands and upon many people that are with him, an overflowing rain and great hailstones and fire and brimstone. Thus will I magnify myself and sanctify myself, and I will be known in the eyes of many nations, and they shall know that I am the Lord. Now, that will be the reasonable conclusion. Now, let's come back then to Zechariah chapter 12. Verse 4, in that day, saith the Lord, I will smite every horse with astonishment and his rider with madness. And I will open mine eyes upon the house of Judah and will smite every horse of the people with blindness. And the governors of Judah shall say in their heart, the inhabitants of Jerusalem shall be my strength, and in of the Lord of, and in the Lord of hosts their God. I think that in the process of this, there is coming a revival in the land of Israel. I would say that as we read the scriptures, and I don't know how important these kind of comments are, but it's just kind of to fuel your imagination, that in all of the wealth and strength of Israel, we are going to see an Israeli Defense Force, the IDF, and a Mossad on steroids. There's going to be a military there beyond anything that we could imagine. And we know today that already they are an extremely capable force, one that you don't want to mess with. And it will only be more greatly that way. But I think God is going to secure such a deliverance with them, for them, that this is going to be one of the factors that is going to begin to cause the revival of Israel. Because at this particular time, I don't believe the 144,000 are yet there. And I don't believe the gospel is being preached to them. Go down to verse 6. In that day will I make the governors of Judah like a hearth of fire among the wood, and like a torch of fire in a sheaf. And they shall devour all the people round about on the right hand and on the left. And Jerusalem shall be inhabited again in her own place, even in Jerusalem. God is going to protect her. There are days of political and military upheaval coming upon this land such as we've never seen. This is going to be shock and awe, such as the world has never seen. We look back at the Six-Day War and reflect and say, surely God preserved Israel. And only people of wisdom will see that. The wicked will not understand that. And the same is true here. But Israel will understand it. And next Sunday night, we move from this text then into the revival in Israel. And what a wonderful day when it says, they will look upon him whom they have pierced, and they will mourn for him. And Jerusalem will be in mourning for the Savior. What a delightful thing. Solomon said, it's better to go to the house of mourning than the house of laughter. And what a great time that will be when Israel begins to mourn for her own Savior. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that we're not in dark about the days that are coming. And it becomes exciting for us to listen to the evening news, to read the newspaper, and understand how events and dynamics are coming together in our world in such a way that we could not have imagined even 15 years ago. And Lord, we pray, even so come, Lord Jesus, Maranatha.